sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I am Johnny.
Hi, Johnny.
Scoozy. Would you like some of my Jell-O cherry flavor? Is that offensive? Sorry.
Well, I don't know. Is that your Alabama accent? Your Southern accent?
Yes. It's my Tom Hanks impersonation.
That's your his Colonel Parker interpretation of the horrible movie Elvis.
Yeah. So bad. I can't believe people thought that movie was good. Sorry, everybody.
Well, the only good thing that came out of it is that he got COVID, right? I was like, he got COVID making that movie? He was like the first one.
One of the worst things that come out of it is Austin Butler pretending that he's stuck with an accent.
And he stuck with it, right? When he won the Golden Globe, too? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you just keep talking like him. I'm like, no, you don't, dude. Quit being a fucking loser. Like, I mean, that's right. It's just like, shut up.
I know. Who's the famous person he dated from High School Musical?
Vanessa Hutchins? I don't know.
That asshole dated her and never proposed. Getting it for free. The milk for free.
Good for him.
Well, I feel like I side with her on that. Like, he seems like a douchebag. Yeah, capital
I've also heard she's kind of a douchebag, too.
That's fair.
Yeah. So they found each other. Good for them.
Do you think they spent any time in Italy? Because that's where our movie was set.
Probably. Deciding whether they were going to remake Deep Red.
Deep Red. They technically could. And welcome to the show. This week we'll review Deep Red, as John said. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. You give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But John, are you listening?
Oh, shit. I need to follow the podcast.
Make sure you specifically are following the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. I know all of that sounded like I was having a stroke right now, but those are actually things you could do to help us help the show. Write a review. Leave 5 stars. Our offer still stands. I know we haven't mentioned it in like a month or two, 5-7 episodes. But if you leave us 5 stars, you can write whatever you guys want about us or anything in general.
Literally anything.
So
we're going to give you that right.
Yes. All right. We're like at the last tail end of our Jallo flavored. Yeah. Movies, Deep End, made by one of the masters, Dario Argento.
Argentino. Yeah, that's what it kind of looks like.
Okay. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny. 5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3 for Deep Red, very talented toy maker, uncredited.
Lot of toys.
Coming in at number 2 for Deep Red, very early instance of progressive bathrooms.
Yeah.
I'm not going to explain that because that's a spoiler. But
okay.
And coming in at number 1 for Deep Red, nothing stronger than Italian jewelry.
Oh, yes. Yes, another spoiler.
Wouldn't have the ending.
Yeah, another spoiler. Alrighty, Deep Red, Dario Argento. Where do you fall on him as a director?
There are some movies that I really like. I think in my later years, because I try to watch a lot of these movies in like high school and college, just not for me. I don't think I could handle slow. I don't think I truly appreciated or understood what Giallo was, and I don't know. With that said, I think this movie is, I'll be honest, pretty good. It's just, I think Argento's pacing for me sometimes just really kills me, and especially in this whole modern age of like there's distractions everywhere. I like start losing focus.
Yeah.
Not enough boobs.
There it is.
Just kidding.
That's what I thought you were talking about. Yeah.
A long-winded way of saying.
I would say like I've obviously been aware, as you know, a film fan, I've actually been aware of Argento's work, and I've seen just like very broadly his movies, but I couldn't necessarily say I'm a fan of his. So digging into some through this show, we've already seen a couple of things that you know, what was the other word? Two Evil Eyes, and then this, and a few other things I've watched outside of the show. I could say that he's okay, I guess, but this is Deep Red came out at the height of his when he was, you know, pumping out bangers and successful movies and stuff, right? I think this is follows
mostly due to Goblin doing the soundtrack.
Oh, we'll definitely get there. That it definitely follows the structure of a giallo. Now that I've seen four similar movies, I could see that they're all fucking the same movies. Like they're all like these pump out, and disagree with me here, but they're the structure of these movies are like Marvel movies. They're like, they literally are paint by numbers. They just
paint by numbers. It's somehow it's going to be a family affair. Let's put it that way. Is what it feels like.
Right. We're going to have like a flashy first kill, and we're going to introduce our characters in poorly dubbed Italian subtitles or whatever. And then
it's going to be goofy stuff going
goofy
on.
Goofy stuff happening.
For a little while.
And then we're just going to have a very boring middle. And then we're going to reveal who it is. Because all of these are designed as like mysteries, like whodunits, right? Okay, so the things that stood out to me. Visual style. Actually, so all giallo movies kind of have like this sort of like editing style, music, kind of like, it's all kind of like papered in together when they do the murders. And watching this one, I really liked, you know, his how he created the moods and how he like moved the camera around, and the murder scenes I thought were really well done. I had no problems with any of the murders. I thought they were all kind of like really well done, and like I thought the editing was really great. And of course, there's the thing that, like you had mentioned, like there's like an iconic score here too by Goblin. It's like this like synthy rock thing they're doing, which is really cool, different.
It's like a synthy rock opera.
So it had a little bit of a different flavor than some of their other works, other collaborations. So when we hear Goblin, we think synth, right? We think like this very kind of like overdone synth. And I think this was
a lot of distorted like guitar, rock and roll style guitar stuff.
And it was purposely like, I liked that the score was like purposely trying to be strange. Like it always purposely tried to be different or weird. And it was like, in like a progressive rock way, you know? And like, there was, of course, they had those like typical like haunting melodies that they try to like put in all their movies. But there was just like a good, to me, it really stood out that they really had a good mix of like the soundtrack, and not what I would have expected from Goblin. Though
I will say one of the negatives for me was I kind of feel like I didn't need the movie to be half English, half Italian, because when like the dubs would happen, like whenever they were speaking English, they all had a very distinct sort of personalities and whatnot. And then when the Italian dub came in, when they're speaking Italian, it sounded like the same guy was doing everybody's voice. Which was real off-putting, because you'd have like very iconic characters like I don't think this is any sort of spoiler, one of the guys that was there during the murder, so our main guy, what's his name? Forgot their name.
I don't think it matters. Okay.
Yeah, I had a hard time. Anyway.
Marcus.
Marcus is a conductor, right, of sorts?
Yes.
For some band?
Yes.
For some like orchestra. And one of his pianists, Carlo, who he's like, I think, very close to kicking out because he's a drunk.
Yeah.
Both are around when a psychic who saw her own murder happening, which is kind of weird. Then why didn't she just avoid it? Just kidding. But
she's not a good psychic, John, obviously.
No. That's what the movie's about. Just like, if you, you know, quit lying, you're not a psychic.
You're bad at your job, miss.
They're just trying to figure out who killed his downstairs neighbor.
Pretty much, yeah.
And there's no, right? Yeah. Even at one point, Carlo, who's drunk, and then oh, that's what I was getting at. Like when they're talking, they both have like, our main guy, Marcus, has like very proper English, like, oh, hello, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden when it switches to him talking Italian, he's like, oh, tagado, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's like, where did that voice come from? He doesn't sound like that when he's speaking English. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I had a problem. I actually, in the first kill of this movie, I had a very, like, self-aware moment where I was like, okay, so this guy's obviously, he's a fucking musician. If I was a musician and I saw a friend, somebody that I knew get murdered, like, why would I... run up to the apartment and go in and try to like pull the body off and like behave so in like, I don't know, like he's going through the motions indifferent. I think I would be more like panicked or like,
yeah. That's just musicians. They're artists. Artists are weird, you know.
It's a weird thing, don't you find that like in a weird in movies where people just kind of accept that, oh, this person died. I need to like help them, or I need to.
Now I need to figure out who.
And now I need to figure out that's time. That's thing is the catalyst, and I didn't even of the whole movie is like, oh, I'm investigating. I'm gonna pull my sources. Like I, unrelatable.
Oh, sorry. Before I forget, at one point you find out Carlo is seeing this very effeminate man.
Right.
And when that person talks, they have like a very sweet, kind, like soft sort of high voice. Mm-hmm. And then that person starts speaking Italian midway through. And I'm like, what is this? It's just like, again, it sounded like the same guy with a super deep voice is dubbing all the Italian parts.
Mm.
Like really takes me out of the movie because they were having an important conversation. I was just like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. And that's definitely one of the, I feel like there are three things that where this movie kind of shows its age, right? Like the sort of gender portrayal, right? Like you mentioned. Yeah. And I mean, I guess I'll talk about it later in spoilers, but because it will come up. But then, that, you know, the way these movies are made, they're very uneven because like of the dubbing. Like you really have to like overlook that and just kind of accept certain things, which is kind of like what you're saying about like how you feel like this, everybody kind of sounds the same in Italian.
Yeah.
And of course, this is the same complaint we had for like the last three movies. I would say like of this little four series of movies we've watched, I would say this is the common issue with all of these movies. The pacing in the middle, especially like the investigation is like so like overstretched and like
just goes forever. Yeah. And it's like, I understand it's almost like they couldn't pick and choose what they wanted to focus on. Like that guy that was investigating also, just at some point he gets offed and it kind of felt like his whole character was pointless. I forgot the character's name.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about? He has the classic
Carlo
thing that we see.
Or
not Carlo, Calcabrini or maybe.
Okay.
He was an older guy. Glasses. He dies in the study. He has the famous what we see in like previews for this movie or like the movie cover with that doll that's coming out like Jigsaw.
Yes. There was.
It's like a nod to
at about
Haunting of, or House on Haunted Hill.
45 minutes before this movie ends, they introduce just a new character who solves the whole fucking murder. So
he solves it. Yeah. It takes him not long because he. Quite frankly, it feels like by accident.
Long feathered hair.
Something was something that was written when a bathroom was like steamed, so he was able to write something on the wall, like the person that gets killed there.
Right. Yeah.
And he figures it out, and then pretty much immediately gets killed.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I think they just needed to introduce more people to get killed, is what was going on.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. And there is that iconic scene where, like, he has like a knife or meat cleaver, and from the shadows, a doll, a toy doll on a bike enters the frame and starts like laughing or whatever. I didn't get this whole like we're gonna play children's things as before the murderer, the black glove murderer, the classic like because every murderer and all these giallo movies have black gloves and a black trench coat, but though this one was brown, so it was a little different. But I didn't get this whole like child. Obsession thing because he would kill all of these people while playing some sort of like song
from, sort of game. It's explained a little bit when they're investigating towards the end of the movie. They're investigating a certain house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I got the like, I know we're just dancing around it, right, the spoiler ending, but I got why, because like the movie opens and all we see is like a Christmas tree and we see some legs and then we see somebody stab somebody and there's like a bloody knife and drops, and then we cut to, you know, we meet the musicians and then we meet the psychic and blah blah blah, blah. It kind of sets up and she dies and that kind of is the catalyst for the movie. But so I figured that whatever happened there obviously is going to be the killer, like whoever did that is going to be the killer, and supposedly that killer was it. And there's some cool like, okay, well here's another thing that I really liked real quick before we get to spoilers, that I found this movie really funny, which I thought was refreshing.
Yeah.
Like, it's genuinely a funny movie because, like, he's, I guess they're portraying him as sort of like meek and weak because he's, I don't know, he's like a musician, I guess. But there's a female investigator and she kind of like,
she's a reporter,
excuse me. Yeah. And she,
whom we saw in our previous film as the assistant,
the killer. Lady, yeah, and some spoilers for for what was it called? Delirium.
Delirium.
I was gonna say Aquarius, but that's not the right. That's not the right right fake name.
But she's not the killer.
Remember? Oh no, no, no. Yeah, yeah. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
You thought. I thought it was the killer. That's what it was. Yeah. Yes. It's very hot in LA right now. So my brain is fried. But yes, yeah, like she ended up playing the assistant. So, and yeah, I like that we kind of like keep seeing the same actors, right? Like pop up and stuff. It's kind of interesting.
Italy is real tiny.
Yeah, very booped, like the size of a boot.
But yes, other than that, what else do we?
The comedy I thought was really on point, and I feel like I will give it credit. The last thing I'll say about it is that there's a scene.
The car was the star of the show.
The car was the star of the show, where the car's like. I don't know. She's kind of like, I don't know. She just has a really terrible car. So it's used for a comic effect, right? Like his seat goes
the
down.
Doors don't the doors work. Don't they work. Have to come out through the sunroof.
Yeah. She's during this scene.
Also very tall.
I feel like in this scene, they kind of give away the whole movie because she, I won't say it here, but I'll say it at spoilers, but she kind of gives away the whole movie. Who and what could possibly be the killer? And once the reporter mentions it, I was like, oh, I know the twist is. Yeah. I was like kind of getting ahead of it a little bit. I kind of feel me.
It's her brother. Oh, wait, no, it's the wrong one.
Who wants to see her tits again?
yeah, I know. Jeez.
But no, yeah, I really like that part. And that kind of leads into the other scene where what threw me off was the person you had mentioned is probably trans, right? That gender that was with Carlo.
I think just effeminate.
Yes.
Homosexual person.
Yes, yeah. But see, like, because, you know, I'm thinking like a Jalo movie. I'm like, okay, well, this might be the killer. You know, they hate.
Or I thought like, okay, this person is going to be important.
Right.
But it is only in the movie for like 5 minutes or something.
I will give Argento that. Like that was the red herring. Yeah. Because most of these movies are all about like, oh, they're like something incestuous or queer or something. It's bad. So therefore you're the killer. You're the person who's deranged. It's usually how these movies go.
I feel like it was introduced to suggest you're right. A red herring, not the new character, a very feminine person, but the Carlo is
as a suspect. Yeah. Well, Carlo saw the other person, right? Cause Carlo, he was drunk and like out of his mind or whatever in grief. He saw the person, but he was just like not paying attention to it. So
yes.
Okay. All right.
Since we're not in spoilers, yes.
Yes. All right, okay. Let's
but it just that conversation though is important because it does kind of give away a whole you're right. Like Carlo's been screaming certain things. He's not making very much sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like interesting.
I feel like the scene before that with the reporter kind of gave away the whole thing, which they're like arm wrestling and shit like that. But okay. We'll get there in spoilers. All right, let's go to spoilers.
Wait! No, 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 stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers! Obviously, it couldn't be Marcus because he's weak.
Yeah, he couldn't arm wrestle a woman.
That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
No, so the killer is Carlo's mother.
Carlo's mother did it.
Yep.
Which is sort of hinted at... by the reporter that why does it have to be a man? It could have been a woman. They literally state the premise and we had to sit for like another hour to get to, oh no, yeah, it is the mother, which kind of makes sense because
that's why Carlo is a drunk and doesn't give a fuck because he can't live with the fact that he knows his mother's been a murderer since he was a child.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, which is the scene we saw in the beginning of the movie. Was him killing the father, right? It was the father.
Yes, the father. Because the father was going to have her recommitted because apparently she is a patient of a psychiatric ward.
Right. Classic trope. And you know, you can get your legs checked there, according to stage fright.
That's right. Exactly.
So.
Which is why she has some sort of arrested development, according to her son.
Right.
And just like has this thing where she needs to keep playing these games in order to distract. That way she can kill who she wants to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was having trouble understanding. I think she was just killing for fun, right? And then the psychic was about to out her.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I said that there's gender neutral restrooms here. Like, it's a very progressive film for the time, because one other guy saw her and it was in the men's restroom at the very beginning of the movie.
That's true, yeah.
And I think that guy got killed, or that guy just disappeared. I don't really remember, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not important. It just sort of happens. Yeah. And then she gets revealed and tries to kill Marcus, and then she gets her neck cut off by just simple jewelry.
Yeah, she's trying to meat cleaver kill Marcus, which is funny because now we've established that Marcus is like a physically weak person.
Yes, because he lost an arm wrestling match to the reporter, Gianna.
Yeah. So according to Argento, that we're trying to solidify that he could not possibly be the killer.
Yes.
But Helga, right? That was her name,
I think. Helga is a psychic. Yeah.
Oh, what was that?
Gianna.
No, Helga's the mom, isn't it?
Oh.
Gianna?
Gianna, yes. I thought Helga was the... Look at us. We know what we're talking about.
No, yeah, Helga's the mom, isn't it? Because isn't...
So who's the...
Amanda.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Martha. Martha.
Martha is the mom. Helga is the psychic, yes. Right?
I believe
Carlo's
so,
mother. Correct. Yeah, I think that's correct.
I like that that's what it says there, but she definitely has a name. Like, what? Anyway, Martha.
Martha.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, she's
How do you know
trying
that name?
She's trying to meat cleaver Marcus, and her necklace gets caught in the old school style elevators, and that's why I'm saying Italian jewelry is just forever, because somehow that cuts her head clean off.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been super sharp.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to know that they're dead.
I think this whole thing is talking about, you know, don't do drugs, don't do alcohol, and definitely don't be a part of jazz music.
Jazz music's the worst. Just let white people like Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone save jazz.
Explain it to you.
Not John Legend. He's also in that movie. I love La La Land. There. Whatever. I said it.
Martha.
Martha. Okay. I don't think I have anything else to say. Do you have anything you want to add to it?
I just like that there is a fake out with they go to the house, and then that's where you start seeing like all of Carlo's old wall drawings that he did with crayon.
Mm-hmm.
That all they did was like just plaster over, so they were able to like rip off the wall and see what he saw. And it explains that, like, yeah, his mother's been killing people and killed his father.
Mm-hmm.
Pops out of nowhere, and he's really just trying to prevent people from finding out who the killer is. And he gets in a physical fight with Marcus and Gianna, which he stabs Gianna. She ends up just in the hospital for the rest of the movie. But Marcus he doesn't even really fight Carlo off, right? Carlo really just, in some sort of like, this is borderline slapsticky, like Three Stooges style, gets hit, falls into the street. A dump truck is going by. There's a hook that's loose in the back, grabs him by the pant leg. So he's being dragged through the streets. And they're like taking sharp turns, because I guess they just drive recklessly in the middle of the night, and flings his head into like one of the curbs. So he's knocked out for a while. And then they finally stop because they're like, what's going on? And another truck goes by and just squishes Carlo's head. So it's all very graphic, very cool, but in retrospect, kind of goofy.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it's over. But I mean, I think by this point also, I was like, no, but it's the mom, right?
It's the mom.
It's definitely Marta. And then that's when like Marcus realizes after leaving the hospital, and there's that beautiful shot where you see like that sort of town square area they've been shooting a lot at.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, wait a second. So he goes back up to the apartment where the murder happened.
Yeah.
Which is very confusing. I'm like, man, what is this guy's obsession with like wanting to die? He's like, the painting, maybe the painting's important. He's like, oh, it was a mirror the whole time. Silly me. I'm like, okay, so you saw somebody? Is that what you're saying? He's like, oh, maybe I saw somebody. I'm like, Jesus. And then that's where Marta happens to be there again, because she followed him in.
Yeah. Yeah. Poorly.
And then she also dies, not because Marcus can fight.
I just like that.
Marcus is just very lucky man who's going to have to live the rest of his life realizing he cannot fight people back.
Just stick with jazz, man. Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
This is such a weird ending because that happens where she decapitates herself in, oh, credits. It's just like immediate.
Yeah. It's just Mark is looking down while the screen turns red and he's just like.
Just what a choice. This is it. I'm done telling my story. There's nothing else to say.
Yeah.
I would say of the ones we saw, this is definitely one of the better ones.
Yeah.
Clearly, 100%. Delirium was.
Stage Fright is probably the best one.
Stage Fright is probably the best one because, that one definitely structurally probably around the same as this movie. I don't know. I just had more fun overall.
Because I think it committed to just being a little outlandish.
Yeah, and I think that stood out. And it was like, it's something new and fresh, right? It's something we hadn't seen before.
And this one, you could tell Argento is doing a lot of different things. Like it's like goofy buddy cop thing. It's a horror. It's a slasher. It's a... The relationships between them are kind of important for kind of no reason, but
I feel like with him a lot of his stuff is like style over substance, and I feel like he was really, this is a movie that's very confident in what it's trying to say and who it want and what it wants to be, and I think that's his voice, that's his what he's making in the movie, which is why these movies are probably so popular. I feel like he never really changed.
I fucking hate jazz music and I need people to understand.
Yeah, I don't feel like he really changed as a director. You know, he's pretty much just been making the same movies over and over, old, tired, and making the same movies. So you get diminishing. All right, cool. Do you have any thoughts before we rate the movie?
No, just, goodbye and Jello.
Did you just have these written down somewhere on your Scream notepad? No, sure. These are really good. Off the top of your head, guys. Off the top of your head. That's the entertainment you're getting. All right, John. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Deep Red 6 sexy spooky bones.
So funny. I'm like right there too. I'm like, it's a movie that I liked, but not my favorite thing too. I wouldn't return to it. I don't think there's much.
No, I don't think I'd have a hard time saying like, let's watch this. That's also because it's kind of long.
Yeah, it is for a giallo. Yeah. The sweet spot's like an hour and 26 minutes, right? Like that feels.
I was going to say like an hour and a half, maybe.
This is about an hour and 40, so.
Like close, like, and I thought, so the version I saw was like 2 hours ish, right?
Right.
And I figured like at 30 minute mark, okay, there's probably maybe only 15 more minutes because of credits. Mm-hmm. But no, we get the movie all the way to the very end and the credits roll over the end, like of what's going on.
Yeah, no, it was.
It's like shit. Okay.
Definitely. I didn't
really realize until the end. I was like, there's only like 20 people in this cast.
Yeah.
Like a very small cast.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the longer giallos. Like, I feel like an hour, 90 minutes, 89 minutes is the sweet spot, man. That's for this film. 2 hours feels like fucking Lord of the Rings in the bad way. The newer trilogy, the Hobbit ones, those are the best. It feels like watching the trilogy of the Hobbits, not Lord of the Rings. Alrighty. All right, guys, not Battery Pals. Thank you for listening, as always.
Stay spooky. Okay, giallo.